Welcome everyone who is watching and listening to God's Word today as we worship the Lord Jesus Christ and we adore Him by opening our hearts to Him through His Word. The Lord Jesus promises that as we meet with Him with open and humble hearts, that He will pour the grace that He has infinitely into our lives to give us encouragement and strength. We worship Him because He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who came to earth to die on the cross so that we can have a personal fellowship with Him through the forgiveness of our sins. Our passage of scripture is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, and we're going to focus on the great, one of the great names that Isaiah promised Jesus would be known as, the Prince of Peace. Let's pray and ask God the Holy Spirit to reveal the power of Jesus as our peace through this message. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the joy it is to feed on Jesus Christ by faith, to be nourished and strengthened by His peace. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You came into this world to sacrifice Your life so that we can have eternal peace with Your Father through faith in You. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that Your Holy Spirit indwells us, and we pray that You would teach us powerfully through this passage of what it means to experience You as our Prince of Peace in disturbing times. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, He brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, He has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before You as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of His burden and the staff of His shoulder, the rod of His oppressor You have broken on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramp warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The prophet Isaiah was under the control of the Holy Spirit as he promises that the Messiah would be the Prince of Peace. Jesus' name is Prince of Peace, and trusting Him gives us peace in disturbing times, in the midst of disturbing and distressing times like we are living in today. Jesus still says to His followers, "Peace I give you, My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you." What word would you use to describe how you have felt this past week? What word would you use to describe how you feel today? Would you say you feel disturbed, discouraged, distressed, resentful, anxious, uncertain? Or would you say you are at peace and filled with joy? Someone has said that every human being fights a civil war within. The civil war of guilt, or of anger, or of fear, or of distress, or of resentment. And others are fighting conflicts with others, injustice and selfishness fueled by hostility and resentment. Yet in the middle of internal civil war and external conflicts in relationships, Jesus comes in the midst and says he will give us his peace and his rest. He said, in the world you will have tribulation, but in the midst of your tribulation, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Old Testament Jew to whom Isaiah was writing this great passage promising what the Messiah would be understood what the word peace meant. For the Jew, it meant the word shalom. It meant a daily vital experience of having adequate resources in all of life. It would be peace physically, peace spiritually, peace in terms of relationships with God, with oneself, and with others. It was something living and vibrant. So peace meant the possession of adequate resources. It had nothing to do with the situation on the outside nearly as much as the internal condition of the heart. And the difference is what the personal relationship that Jesus Christ makes in your life. So how can we experience and cultivate peace? First, trusting that Christ is your peace. Trusting that Christ is your peace. Trusting that Jesus Christ has the character of the Prince of Peace so that you surrender the government of your life into his safe hands. When you think of Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace, you immediately think of his character. His character. Jesus was perfect God and perfect man. Jesus perfectly embodied peace. You see him when you watch, you see this when you watch him and read about him and behold him in the circumstances of real life described in the Gospels. Follow with me. He was able to fall asleep in the midst of a storm, falling asleep in a boat in the midst of a storm that was so threatening that even his disciples, who were fishermen, were terrified. He looked at over 5,000 hungry men and women, and he assured his anxious disciples that he had a plan and the power to satisfy the hunger of these thousands of followers who were following him. We also read of him in the story of Jairus' daughter who falls ill and dies. And when the professional mourners laughed in Jesus' face when he said that Jairus' little daughter was only sleeping, he calmly walked in the midst of her room and raised her from the dead. Even the two demoniacs in the graveyard of Gadara were confronted by Jesus Christ calmly and peacefully and had demons cast out of them so that they were at peace. He is the Prince of Peace, so he was able to bring peace to so many different people in so many different circumstances, no matter what their situation. In the storms of life, physical and spiritual, in the deprivations of life, in the face of death and at the moment of death, in the midst of satanic attack, the Lord Jesus Christ will and is able to guard your heart from being overcome by distress and disturbance, because he is sovereign over every circumstance of your life. He is sovereign over every situation of life. He is sovereign in the midst of all the disturbing situations of your life, no matter what you face. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter drew out his sword and declared war against the mobs coming against Jesus Christ, Jesus surrendered himself to the arresting officers, even though he knew Golgotha was ahead of him, because he knew that those arresting officers would only lead him to trial and then to the sentence of condemnation to a cross, in which Jesus would pay the ultimate sacrifice to bring us into peace with God. Our Lord's trial was a travesty of justice, and yet Jesus calmly moved from judge to judge as a lamb that is led to slaughter and as a sheep before shearers is silent. Jesus didn't open his mouth because he knew he was fulfilling the Father's purpose of love to save us from our sin. Pilate marveled at Jesus' silence because most criminals who were condemned would be cursing at their executors, but Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The women of Jerusalem offered Jesus a mixture of something to drink so that to somehow alleviate his pain, and yet he refused it because he was determined that with a full mind and a controlled will, he would fulfill God's eternal plan to defeat the powers of the enemy and to establish peace between us and God. See, our Lord's peace didn't come from the absence of trouble. He had peace in the midst of the most oppressive, heart-wrenching, difficult situations of life. Do you know where Jesus' peace came from? It came from the depths of his fellowship with Almighty God, his Heavenly Father. Underscore this in your mind and heart. Peace and character go together. Character and peace go together. You cannot have one without the other. What we do depends on what we are. The secret of our Lord's peace was his perfect relationship with the Father. As he led the disciples from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, he said these words in John 14:31, "But I do as the Father commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father." He loved the Father, and therefore he trusted his Father. That was what gave Jesus peace. Jesus Christ was God, manifested in the flesh. But in his earthly ministry, he laid aside the attributes of his deity in order to live by faith in his Father and to accomplish his Father's will. Satan attempted him to use his divine power for selfish purposes, but Jesus refused. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." And that is why Jesus was the Prince of Peace, because of his perfect fellowship, perfect obedience, and his dependence on the Father. You know, Jesus Christ lived the way you and I must live and serve. Yes, he is perfect, and we are sinners, saved by grace. But we are to live loving our Father and trusting his power to obey him. We are to live offering up every shred of disturbance and stress to God and entrusting it to him. And then he hands us his peace. We are to live in dependence on the Word of God. And the food of the Word of God will give us energy to serve God, to rely on him, bringing his peace to fill every crack and crevice of our lives. Righteousness and peace go together. We read these words in Isaiah 32:17, and the effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. The effect of righteousness is peace, and the result of righteousness is quietness in the heart and life, and assurance before God. Our Lord's first priority was righteousness. Peace at any price was never found in the heart or life of our Lord. Peace without righteousness is a victory for the powers of darkness. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 6:14, "They have healed the hurt of my people only slightly, because they say there is peace when there is no peace." See, the promise of peace is not dependent on human determination to think positive thoughts. And it's not dependent on the improvement of circumstances. It comes from above. It is the gift of God through the Holy Spirit giving us faith and trust in Christ. The building of Christ-like character produces the peace of Christ in our lives. The character of Christ leads increasingly to the peace of Christ. The Holy Spirit wants and is determined to transform our characters to make them like Christ. And as we become more like Christ, the fruit of the Holy Spirit fills us with the peace of Christ. We're prone to want God to change our circumstances, but God says, "I want to change your character in the midst of and through your circumstances." We think peace comes from the outside in, but no. Because it is the gift of God, it comes from the inside and works itself out. Our hearts carry in them either peace or war, depending on who is in control of them. Is Jesus Christ in control of your heart? Have you surrendered the government of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? The more you become like him, the more you experience his peace and can share it with others. I want you to think for a moment about a sponge that is water saturated. Do you know if you push down on that sponge that's saturated with water, create a little disturbance in it, what's going to happen to it? Water's going to flow out. The interior pockets of the sponge. The same is true of you and I. You can tell what fills you on the inside when a disturbance and stress comes into your life. Is it Jesus or is it self? So we trust the character of the King for peace. Second, surrender to the power of the cross. Jesus Christ being the Prince of Peace involves not only his perfect character as fully God and fully man, it also involves his perfect love in finishing the work of salvation on the cross for you and me. Peace is the gift of God. And we are told that peace would come in the gift of a person that we celebrate at Christmas and every day of our lives if we know Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. Peace was established as a gift of God through the finished work of Jesus on the cross for you and me. In Colossians 1:20, we read, having made peace through the blood shed on the cross. Because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, we have peace with God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we read, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And then we are also told in Colossians 1:20, Jesus has reconciled all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. You know, this present evil world is falling apart like an abandoned barn and certainly doesn't need a definition of reconciliation. It needs a demonstration of reconciliation in the lives of God's people. Reconciliation represents the deepest longings of the human heart. Somebody bring us together. But that somebody, and the only one, is Jesus Christ, who came as God's love gift through the birth, through the Virgin Mary, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Human history, when it began and God created Adam and Eve, was perfect. There was no death. There was no sin. There was perfect harmony between Adam and Eve and God, between Adam and Eve and each other in their marriage, between Adam and Eve and the created world. But then Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and rather trusting that God would lavishly provide all that they needed, they instead chose to believe the word of Satan, doubting God's goodness, and as a result, ate the forbidden fruit. And as a result, they were separated from God and the way of peace they did not and could not know. God gave Adam and Eve dominion in the Garden of Eden. But they sinned against God, listening to the lie of the evil one, and they lost their dominion. Instead of being free to serve God, they became slaves of Satan. And they forfeited and turned over their freedom and dominion to the evil one. And before long, man became separated from man when Cain killed Abel, his brother, in jealousy and rage. The sin of Adam and Eve infected and infects every single person. We are all born sinners. We are by nature sinners. We choose to sin. We are under the dominion of sin. Sin is the great divider and the great destroyer of our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. And it moved through the human race so that eventually what we read is man became exceedingly violent. He was filled with violence. God judged the world and wiped it clean through a flood, starting afresh with Noah and his family. But the poison was so deep in man's heart that even from a youth, the thoughts of a person's heart are evil. It wasn't enough to purge the tree of its bad fruit. The entire root of the human heart must be cleansed. But how was God to do that? It took the Son of Man coming to this earth to strike the death blow and to conquer sin. At Bethlehem, Jesus Christ was made flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary so that he might be made sin on the cross of Calvary. And what kept Jesus Christ on that cross when he was separated from his Father in bearing our sin, when he was taunted, when he was suffering such agony, was love for you and for me. Man's relationship with God was lost by a man, Adam, and it had to be restored by another man. And that man is the God-man, Jesus Christ. Only he undid what Adam did. Jesus Christ is perfect man. Jesus Christ is sinless man. Jesus Christ is innocent man in every way. And so he was able to bear the penalty for your sin and my sin so that through Christ we are reconciled to Almighty God if we surrender ourselves to him. All of us today are represented by one of two men, either Adam or Christ. Who's representing you? Focus your heart and mind on the good news of the gospel, especially in these distressing and disturbing times. What is the good news of the gospel? In wonderful grace, God has for once and for all taken care of your sin through the death and resurrection of Christ. He has settled your account by the death of Jesus Christ with God the Father. Do you believe that good news this morning? In other words, with one hand, God struck his Son in justice as he bore your sin. But with the other hand, he reaches out in eternal love to welcome you into his family. His grace meets you at the point of all of your failures because Christ bore the penalty of your sin. When you repent and trust Christ, you are made righteous in Christ, covered with his perfect righteousness, forgiven of your sin, and welcomed into the embrace of God's forever family. Only the blood of Christ goes deep enough into the root of your sin to forgive you and bring you peace with God. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary so that you and I could be born again. He was the Son of Man so that you and I could be lifted up to be sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah for such love that reconciles you to God forever. And you know one result of peace with God is peace with one another. Sinners are reconciled to God, and because of the reconciling love of Jesus in your heart, we are to be reconciled with one another. You know, you can trace this ministry of reconciliation in the book of Acts. In chapter 8, an African man, an Ethiopian treasurer, meets Jesus Christ and is converted. In chapter 9, a Jew, Saul of Tarsus, meets Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road and is converted. In chapter 10, Cornelius, a Gentile, is born again by the Holy Spirit and trusts Jesus Christ. And what is God doing in the gospel? He's bringing Jew and African and Gentile and every race and every tribe to know Christ and to be reconciled with each other. Are you demonstrating the reconciling love of Christ? As God's people, we're either working with Jesus to build others up, or we're working with Satan to tear them down. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, "Let love motivate you to build others up." In the strain of times when we're isolated from each other, it's even more important to look for ways to build each other up. And then thirdly, we have Christ's companionship brings peace. In other words, it is the companionship of Christ that we cultivate as we depend on the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, that fills us with His peace. As you love and trust Christ, His presence gives you peace. So we have the character of peace in Christ. We have the cross of Christ that establishes peace. And we have the companionship of our Savior. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid." You can go to a vacation spot and buy some rest. You can even go to a pharmacy and get some medication to temporarily settle you down. But you can never buy peace with God. It's only bought for you through the blood of Christ, and you either accept Him or you reject Him. You either have peace with Him or the way of peace you will not know. So peace is the gift of God. It's rooted in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. He's the gift that brings eternal peace with God. Jesus' companionship brings peace. You know, after the chaotic hours after Jesus was crucified, He appears to His disciples in John 20:19, and He says, "Peace I give you." What did Jesus mean? He says, "Peace I give you," and then He shows them His wounds on His hands, His feet. In other words, Jesus was saying, "It is my death for you that was the awful price to purchase your peace. And no one can take my peace from you because I give you the Holy Spirit who will so unite me to you that you will have my peace filling your life." For a follower of Christ, peace is not a shallow emotion based on feelings or circumstances. It's based on our deep confidence and our deep trust in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, who indwells us. At the cross, righteousness, Christ's righteousness, and God's peace kiss each other. But at the throne, Jesus Christ reigns and rules over every disturbance in our lives, so that as we trust Him, His peace is enthroned in our hearts. When the Prince of Peace reigns in our lives, the peace of God rules in our hearts. How wonderful that is, that Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, rules in our hearts. How do you experience that peace, that companionship? As you walk with Christ each day, His peace will fill your life through His Word. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have told you, that my peace may be in you." The companionship of Christ is not something we manufacture. It's something we joyfully accept through confidence in His Word. He still speaks peace to us. And so when we read a verse like, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you," and we attach our minds and hearts to that verse and apply it, God speaks peace to us, and it fills us with the reassurance of His calm in the midst of the anxieties of life. Ask God to help you pinpoint what it is that's causing the anxieties in your life. Is it a sin you haven't confessed? Is it a circumstance you can't control? Then claim Philippians 4:6-7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." Then, share and demonstrate the peace of Christ. We must remember that God doesn't give us His peace as a spiritual luxury just for ourselves. He gives us His peace so that we'll plunge ourselves into the problems of a tangled world that desperately needs Christ, and share that peace with others around us who need to know Christ. Third, walk with Christ by surrendering the government of your life to Him. You know, because Jesus is with us, we need not be afraid. When the Apostle Paul was facing death in a Roman prison, he was shortly to be put to death because of his faithfulness to God. He wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:16-17, "At my trial, no one stood with me, my first trial, but God stood with me. God will never fail you or forsake you. He has defeated your greatest enemy, death." So while others are so fearful over death at this time, you need not be fearful of your greatest enemy. It's been defeated by Christ, and therefore you can be confident against every other enemy you face. And then lastly, cultivate companionship with Christ. Our Lord doesn't want to be just your divine lifeguard who you call in times of emergency. He wants you to share every aspect of your life with Him. Enoch and Abraham and Noah walked with God in very disturbing, ungodly times, and they had the peace of God and the courage of God to live for Him. What does it mean to walk with God? To surrender to His will. To acknowledge His sovereign right to do as He pleases with your life. It means to trust His perfect wisdom to overrule men's and Satan's devices. And it means to recognize the wealth of your position in Christ. You're hid with Christ in God. You walk in Christ. It means to surrender your life to Jesus so that He does as He sees fit. One day Jesus will climax His ministry by returning as Prince of Peace and establishing His kingdom that will never end. There will be no more death or crying or mourning or pain. So as you wait for Him, serve Him, labor for Him, love Him, demonstrate His reconciling love to each other. Are you prepared to meet the King? Have you surrendered the government of your life to Him? We have peace as we let God mold our characters in Christ-likeness. As we surrender to the power of the cross of Christ, as we cultivate companionship with our King, and as we wait for His soon return. May God enable us to surrender to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, mold and shape our characters so that we will more and more have the character of Jesus. Lord Jesus, may we live lives centered on the good news of the gospel, that we have peace with you through the power of your cross. Enable us to cultivate companionship with you and to look for your soon return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.